Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Confidence with Van podcast. My name is Ganiat K and I'm excited to have you on the show. This episode, I have no idea what I'm going to title it, but you will have seen from the title what it's about. I want to address a tweet I just read a few minutes ago and I really feel so strongly about it and I need to share what I feel about it because it has to do with low self-esteem, people pleasing, society, etc. So let's just dive right into it straight. Welcome to the Confidence with Van podcast, the show where we talk about self-love, self-esteem, body image, and the struggles of becoming a better person from the perspective of this young girl here. I'm your host, Ganiat K, and on the show, I also try to involve other people to share their experiences and bring on interviews. So I hope to inspire you to feel less alone on your journey and to take action towards becoming a better person. Let's dive right in. Future Ganiat here, just to give you a heads up and a trigger warning that this episode is a story about abuse. And so if that's something you don't like to listen to or something that triggers you, please skip this episode. Okay. So I'm going to read out the tweet right now. Here it goes. My husband came to Canada in 2020 as an international student. He applied for our kids, twins, and myself to join him. Our marriage has never been great because my husband is a control freak and he literally controls my entire life. It wasn't always like this. I don't know how we got here. He never hesitated to hit me at any slight provocation, even in the presence of our kids. My salary goes into our joint account, and he made sure I didn't have access to my salary. He was hesitant to bring me to Canada because he was scared the system wouldn't allow him control me. He was scared the system wouldn't let him control me. Anyways, when I came, he stopped his part-time job and persuaded me to work full-time plus extra shifts to make the entire household income while he juggled school and took care of our boys since we could not get any daycare space for them immediately. I worked up to 80 hours weekly and still did our home chores at home. It was too much for me, so I begged my husband to allow me come home some evenings to take care of our boys and rest while he goes out those evenings to work part-time and support the family income, but he refused. It was like the physical and emotional abuse intensified after I spoke to him about working part-time. In a few months of being in Canada, I aged drastically and looked so unkempt. Using my money to take care of my personal needs was a taboo because my husband would rant non-stop. I would jump buses even in the snow because my husband won't let me drive to work even when he clearly isn't using his car. I didn't have friends because I was always working and didn't have time to attend social events or even church. I was living in bondage in Canada. My company hired a new Nigerian lady. On our first shift together, she noticed how sad and unkempt I was. She warmed up to me immediately and made me feel so comfortable around her. I cancelled my extra shift for that day and followed her to her home. She took off the weave on my hair. We washed my hair and then she gave me contact of another Nigerian lady who ran a home salon. She also agreed to pay. The next day, after my regular shift, I cancelled the extra shift and went straight to make my hair. When I got home, my husband wasn't happy with my new look. He demanded to know where I got money to pay for my hair. I lied to him that the lady made it free because she said we are from the same state in Nigeria. LOL. Long story short, that was how I made two Nigerian lady friends, my new co-worker and the hairstylist. I confided in them and they just disliked my husband. They took me to the bank on one of my supposed shifts and I opened a new bank account. They told me to speak to my employer to change my salary account to the new account instead of the joint account, which I did. It wasn't like I did not know how to break loose from my husband's manipulation and control, but I just lacked the willpower to do that. So these ladies gave me all the ginger and push I needed to regain my freedom and my life. Payday came and my husband did not receive my salary. He was mad. I didn't go to work the next day. My husband thought I skipped work because I wasn't paid. But I actually took the day off. The next day, I got ready to go to work and he stood in my way saying I would quit if he doesn't receive my salary. I told him I was actually paid but into my personal account. He was angry and raised his fist to hit me. But I dodged the blow and challenged him that I would call the police if he dared to hit me ever again in his life. My heart was beating fast because I didn't have the mind to call the police. I just wanted to scare him away. Thank God he really got scared and stepped back. So I quickly ran off to work. I told my friends what happened and they gave me more ginger. Ha ha ha. It felt like a breath of fresh air. When I got home that day, I transferred the bills for the month to his account, the joint account, so he could pay our bills and left the rest in my account. I noticed he wasn't talking to me, so I just dropped him a message to let me know if he needs money for anything. He started keeping malice with me. I wouldn't let me know if our kids needed anything because I was too busy to notice most times. I eventually stopped all my extra shifts so I could have more time for the kids. I reminded him to get a part-time job, but he was adamant. He finally graduated and said the kids and I should return back to Nigeria until he finds a good job, and then we can come back to Canada. I knew he just wanted to trick me to go back to Nigeria since he couldn't control me anymore. I told my friend about it and they discouraged me. That was when my friends recommended your page to me. So this is the page of the person I'm actually reading the story from, right? So this story is not owned by the owner of the page. She's sharing the story of someone else, okay? That was when my friend recommended your page to me. This was around October, November last year. I started following you religiously. I also subscribed to your YouTube channel. My husband had gone ahead to book our tickets back to Nigeria for December and even applied for his PGWP, which, by the way, guys, it means postgraduate work permit. You need that to work after your studies if you actually study in Canada. Okay. Thank God, say God no be man. My husband's PGWP got refused in November. I am not exactly sure why. He became even more angry, disconnected, and wouldn't discuss any of his plans with me. He became a total stranger, and our home grew colder each day. My friends encouraged me to speak to HR at my workplace. After going back and forth with HR, I was referred to the company's immigration lawyer. He drafted a letter for me and advised me to apply for an open work permit, which I did. It was approved in December 2022. There's a typography here. She said 2023, but we know we are in March 2023, right? So, yeah, I'm just going to assume she means December 2022. I did apply with the kids alone. Since my husband didn't want to be part of it, if he applied for his PGWP, I doubt ILCC has gotten back to him. I learned about AIP and PNP from your page. I researched more about them and started applying for care jobs aggressively in NL, PEI, and NB. This was just in February. On 24th February, I landed an employer who was willing to employ me and sponsor my PR via AIP. I know PR to mean permanent residence. I'll be resuming next month, so I plan to move to NB with my kids by month end. It doesn't look like my husband wants to come with us. He isn't saying anything. I feel so tired and drained. My husband seems so angry and disconnected from us. I don't know if he's tired of the marriage or if it's a feeling of remorse. My friends think I should focus on myself and my kids and getting our PR first and not even include him. I'm so confused. My husband has been a sad man since the day I switched my salary account. All efforts to show him that I am on his side aren't working. It seems he is only happy when he is in control of my life. I don't mind him being in control of my life, but he doesn't treat me well. I don't know what to do. At this point, I'm considering going back to Nigeria, if that will return peace to my life. My emotions are all over the place. Please, what is your professional advice? Real Life Story by Miss P. O. N. Curated by Mrs. O. Oh, guys. There is so much to unpack from this story. There are several angles that we can take this from. But the angle I'm going to be taking this story from is from the angle of low self-esteem. Because immediately I read this story, this is the first time I'm actually reading the story through. The first time I saw this, a few minutes ago, I just browsed through it because I just couldn't read it without feeling angry, pissed, upset about it. I feel really sad for this woman, especially because at the end of the story, she says she wants to go back to Nigeria so that she can return peace to her life, that she's considering going back to Nigeria, if that's what will return peace to her life. And I'm just here sitting down and thinking, this woman has never even experienced peace. I just have this feeling that she doesn't even know what peace is. She doesn't know what peace is. Standing up for yourself, speaking up, challenging her husband when he wanted to hit her again, all these things is new to her, is strange. And of course, it's normal for her to be scared. And personally, when I'm scared, I want to hide. I want to run away. I want to isolate myself. Like, that's my immediate instinct, is to hide and isolate myself. And I can definitely see why this woman is feeling like, okay, let her just go back to her husband, the way things were before. And so that she won't have to face this fear, this feeling that she's having, which obviously comes with taking a bold step, something you are not used to. I can't speak for other countries, but I grew up in Nigeria and I've come across a lot of Nigerian women. Like, I've never left this country. And your society, I believe, has a huge problem. I was thinking to myself, who raised these women with low self-esteem? It can only be other women who also have low self-esteem. let's not lie, in the house I was brought up in, asking questions wasn't encouraged. Growing up, I was a strong-willed child. If you asked me to do something, I'll tell you why. The next thing I'm asking you is why. Why should I do that thing? And it was frowned upon. And I was like shut down, like, don't ask why. And now that I'm older, I see it from the perspective of, these people are telling me don't ask why. They're shutting me down. They're telling me I'm rude. I'm disrespectful for questioning things. But in actual reality, they don't even have the answers to my questions because they weren't even brave enough, or they were also shut down as kids from asking questions. You know, maybe they weren't brave enough to ask questions, or they don't even know why they are telling me to do things that they are telling me to do. Men, I believe, are raised to be more assertive than women. They don't tolerate nonsense. There are just certain things that a man will not tolerate. And even putting a man aside, let's not compare men and women. We do have our differences. And I can understand how it is for... I can understand why it's necessary that we are raised slightly differently, although I believe a lot of things need to be changed in the way men and women are brought up. One thing I do know is that as a human being, let's even put aside gender, as a human being, you have feelings, you deserve to be respected, and you should be assertive. You should be able to make your decisions and say yes or no to things. A lot of men have been brought up to shrink themselves. Every human has ego, but we've been told in this society that men have big ego, and so women are expected to suppress their own ego and massage a man's ego. I need to ask a psychologist, or if you are one listening, please let me know, is a man's ego bigger than that of a woman's ego, or is every human being's ego the same? Is it just about how we handle it and how we choose to decide if we let our ego be the driver of our decisions and our lives? I really need to know. So let's go back to the beginning of this story. Our husband moved to Canada. She said something in this beginning part of the story that their marriage has never been great because her husband is a control freak, and he literally controls her entire life. It wasn't always like that, and she doesn't know how they got there. Number one, in my opinion, I don't know these people personally, by the way, I'm just speculating and telling you what I observed from just reading one story, okay? So don't call for me with that. I know I don't know them personally, but I do believe that there's absolutely no excuse and no justification for what this man has done to this woman. Okay, just get that right. Okay, so she's saying that this man wasn't always like this. Number one, I believe that is a lie. That's not true. You cannot hide who you truly are. And even if you hide it, you can't last for so long. In the beginning, what I've heard about abusers, and even from my own personal experience, they don't come to you to show you that, oh, look at me, I'm an abuser. No, they pretend. They get you to a point where they've groomed you in a way, or they've love bombed you, gaslighted you, or manipulated you to a point where you are even defending the rubbish that they do. You understand? You are defending the abuse. This woman mentioned in the story that she mentioned abuse in this story. So I know that she's aware of what this man is doing. She mentioned manipulation. She's aware. And there was a part she mentioned that she doesn't even have the willpower to fight back. Obviously, it just shows me that this woman has been accustomed to this man misbehaving her, and she most likely is holding on to the idea that this man sold to her in the beginning of their relationship. Because sitting down here like this whole marriage thing is very, very scary for me. Someone can just pretend to you, they can study you, get to know what it is you would like to hear, and tell you exactly what you would like to hear. So this man has always been like this, in my own opinion. She just didn't see the signs, or she saw it and chose to ignore etc. Number two, I believe that one of the first way that God took her out of this situation this marriage thing is by giving her a friend, is by of giving her community. I am so grateful for the Nigerian lady she met at work who took it upon herself to show kindness to this woman. She took her home, she washed her hair, she recommended a stylist to her, and now all these three women became friends. I'm so grateful that these women she came across are not women who are also of the opinion that she should worship the ground her husband walks on, or that she should endure the abuse, that, you know, you should not be lonely. You guys, I'll still get to reading to you all the replies, some of the replies that this particular tweet got, because, oh my God, it just made my tummy turn. Like, my tummy is literally paining me right now. Anyways, I'm so glad that God gave her community, because that's the first way he pulled her out of that situation. This woman was isolated. She had nobody. And you see, it's so good to be kind to people. Society has sold to us that women, you know, are each other's problems. And I won't lie, I've seen it a lot, but I think it's because we've been told that a lot of time. We've been put head to head against each other a lot of times. We've had to, multiple women have had to fight for the same position sometimes, and instead of them fighting for that position, they fight each other because they believe they are each other's competition instead of each other's allies. There's also several things, and yes, women, I believe that when we all start supporting each other, oh my God, we'll be such a powerful force. And for some reason, that just seems like it's far away from being accomplished, because society has just sold us a lot of lies that for us to start unpacking can take years and years, in my own opinion. You guys, I would love to hear your opinion on this story. Honestly, if you are listening on Spotify, there is a particular place you can write to me about your opinion. If you are listening on the app, I don't know how to explain that place to you, but there's a place where you see like a Q&A where I'm asking you what are your thoughts on this episode. Please drop it. If you are not listening on Spotify, send me an email. It's theconfidencewithvampodcast@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you, and I'll definitely reply you all. I'm actually on a break, but I need to put out this episode because I feel so strongly about this. And if I leave this episode to be edited later in the future, I just may end up not editing it and may end up not putting it out. So, yeah. Number three, I think another way that God took this woman out of this situation is the fact that her husband's PGWP, postgraduate work permit, wasn't approved. Although I don't know the latest now, I don't know if the man's PGWP has been approved or not. But I'm so glad that she was able to get her children and her to stay. She was able to speak to HR. She has been able to get another job. I wish her all the best, but I really do believe she needs to work on herself. What? Her self-confidence, her self-esteem. She's trying so hard to please this man from the story. And I wish that someone can just give her a reality check that there's nothing you can do to please him. You can't change him. He is who he is. And it doesn't matter what you do, you will never please this man. You will never be enough for this man. I'm so sorry. You know, a lot of people are not even feeling enough for themselves, and so they will keep projecting it to other people, you know. No. This man is just a no-no. Some people in the comments were encouraging her to stay in the marriage, which I'll get to read in the comments very soon. And it just really made me feel like, oh my God, who twisted our mentality? Who told you that you won't find happiness? Who told you that you can't raise your kids alone and raise them into amazing human beings? Because trust me, raising kids in that type of environment is teaching them that it's okay. You're teaching them it's okay for a man to hit a woman. You're grooming them to become like their father, because best believe, we are the people that raised us. The people that raised you, their voices become your inner voice. Yusef, check it. The people that raised you, their voices become your inner voice. And it's a lot of work to start unpacking, to start trying to change your self-beliefs and all that. So I really believe that she'll be able to raise her kids in a much, much better environment. So let's go and read the comments. This particular comment I'm about to read, it's from a fellow woman, and it breaks my heart, honestly. This woman is saying, don't leave your marriage. Rather, find a way to make peace with your husband. Maybe involve elders so they can help you guys. Then you can go ahead with getting your PR for your entire family and build a happy life. Focusing on yourself is good, but you need your husband. I feel like a lot of people are educated, but they are not educated. They are educated, but they refuse to have logic. They refuse to think. Human beings don't think. Have you checked it? Even I checked myself. One day I was reading the Quran, and Allah said somewhere in the Quran, and I'm paraphrasing right now because, you know, you guys have said it multiple times. I don't know how to repeat things word for word. But yeah, in the Quran, Allah said, man, we have brought down, we have given you these signs for people who think. And at that day, I just sat down and I was just like, oh my God, it's true. I don't think. You think you think? You really do think so? A lot of us are moving in this world blindly. You're just doing what everybody's doing. Ask people, or even ask yourself, why are you doing what you are doing? You don't, do you know why? Do you even know why? Most people don't know why they are doing it. They'll say, okay, somebody said you should do it and you are doing it. A lot of people don't question things. And we just come to the world and live based on the standards of people who have died. You're not creating anything new for yourself. And to even create something new for yourself is difficult because it seems like the world is set in a certain motion. But you need to ask questions. Question things. A lot of people don't think. You don't think. Yeah. And if you believe something will not work for you, of course it will not work for you. We are also limited by our views on life and our beliefs as well. I really do not agree with this woman. How are the elders supposed to make this man change? How are the elders supposed to help them? Somebody else says, you have done well by standing for yourself. No woman should be subjected to financial and emotional slavery. Don't go back to Nigeria. Marriage is not a do or die. Your peace of mind should come first. Good luck. I agree with this person. And from the profile picture, I can see that this person is a man. Women have been brought up to believe that marriage is do or die. That you are nothing or you have accomplished nothing if you are not married. A lot of people that are telling you, go and bring husband, go and marry. Check it. Truly, they themselves are not happy in their marriage. But they want to push you into that that same line. It's crazy to me. I'm like, do these people even think? Someone else's comment says, a woman can successfully lead a country, but never a relationship. Let him lead. Let him be the man that he is. Those women are not your friends. They want to see you alone and miserable. Communication seems to be the issue, so fix that. This is coming from a man. This man is saying, let him be the man that he is. So you are telling me that the man that he is all right. That him abusing her emotionally, physically, financially is what a man should be. That is him being a man by doing those things. He also proceeds to say, those ladies are not your friends. They want to see you alone and miserable. Oh, people should stop saying this, that women who are not married are alone and miserable. It's such a sick narrative. I think it's obsolete. Try something new. Say something else, please. I know that it's very possible to be happy, to have everything intact. It's possible for you to feel lonely, even if you... it's possible. But I do know a lot of people are in their marriages and they are lonely. They are just housemates with the husband. The husband is not even fully participating in the raising of his children. He feels like he's helping the wife. Like, this man says, communication seems to be the issue, so fix that. Communication is not the issue, Mr. Man. And The woman is not the one that has something to fix. I believe it takes two to tango, but from this story, I definitely believe that this woman is not perfect, but from this story, this man definitely has the bigger issue, in my opinion. This man has, the husband has a bigger issue, and it's not communication only. The man is an abuser. And he's saying, so fix that, like it's the woman's job to fix the marriage. You know, in my last episode, I was saying someone can be going through a lot and be, and because that thing they are going through has become a comfort zone for them, they won't want to change, they won't want to move on, they won't even believe anything is wrong, because that is how messed up their mindset is. Another man is saying, men, please don't be like this man. See guys, your wife is a first proof of your kindness and whatever good you do. I feel so sorry for her. As a man, you are supposed to love your wife more than she loves you. It's scriptural. I also think she married the wrong man. This is coming from another man, and I agree with him. She married the wrong man. The red signs, the red flags might have been there. She might have ignored them. ETC. Yeah. Let's move on to the next comment. It no go better for you if you take those kids back to Nigeria with the opportunity you have at hand. Amen. Ashegun. You found peace already, but you prefer living in bondage. Honestly, I can't blame. That's from another man, oh, you guys. I can't blame that woman. Like, I can't. But I truly believe she has not experienced peace. Because if you know what peace truly is and what it really feels like, you will not describe this situation, this story, this thing you've just gone through as peace, or having things go back to somewhat normal, which is abnormal, but because you think it's normal, you still stay there and call it peace. Oh God, I'm so glad I could laugh, honestly, because this story really made me feel a lot of things. Oh, I experienced different range of emotion, from anger to upset to being pissed to, I just felt like, what? I felt like, oh my God, there is a pandemic. Our beliefs, a lot of things need to change. People will say, oh, it's culture. Excuse me, killing of twins was once culture, but it has now changed. Who told you culture can't change? Culture can't evolve. There's a pandemic of low self-esteem, y'all. It's something that we really definitely need to work on. There's so many things that women have been taught that are absolutely wrong. It's so wrong. Like, I understand that it's a man's world that we live in, but we should have self-worth. Every human being deserves respect. No one deserves to go through what that woman went through at all. I really wish her all the best. And I don't know what she has done now. I don't know if she has gone back to Nigeria, left the opportunity she has in Canada. I don't know if she has given in to family peer pressure, because some of these people giving you this advice to stay in an abusive marriage are your parents. I hope that this woman finds strength. God has given her amazing company, and I really hope that she gets professional help. Yeah. I wish she reported the husband to the police sooner though, because that's one thing that was going on to my mind when I was reading the story. Like, oh my God, you are in a country that works. I'm here in Nigeria, and in my head, I believe Canada is a country that works. I know the country is not perfect, but I just have this perception that they have a good police system there, like good security system, like you can report things like this easily, you know. But yeah, a lot of women have been brought up to have so much fear. I'm also working on overcoming that fear myself. Fear of stating your mind, fear of doing what you want to do, fear of even being yourself. That's all I have to say for this episode. It's long. Oh my God. I don't even think I'm editing this episode. Maybe I'll just remove a few pauses when I was reading the story, but oh my God. Thank you guys for listening. I'm going back to my podcast week now. I just wanted to share this, because if I let it be, if I let this day pass, I won't be able to communicate how I feel this way. Even the way I felt a few minutes ago, well, not a few minutes anyway, at this point, like some minutes ago, the way I felt, I couldn't even bring that feeling to the podcast, to this episode. It had subsided before I decided, you know what, I'm going to record today, because I wanted to postpone this recording, and I'm so glad I recorded today. Let me know what you all think. I'll put the details of how to contact me in the description box. Please share this episode with other people so we can get more listens. And thank you guys so much for tuning into the last episode. OMG, it's doing so well, and I'm so grateful for you all. I'll see you guys hopefully very soon. Take care of yourself. Have a great day or night, wherever you are. Bye-bye.